Yo, 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 we live on location, man. We officially deadlocked 1-1 in the NBA Finals. The Heat went ahead and got them a W out there in Denver, taking game two. They stormed back, though. It was a strong 36-point fourth quarter to take game two. They won 111-108. Black, give me your thoughts on the game now. Let me preface it by this, because last time we were here, me and you, we talked about who we was picking and who was our, not the last time, the first time we was here before the finals. We talked about our unsung heroes, right? We said Gabe Vincent, you said Kevin Love. They both had an impact on this game too, ain't it, Black?
Yeah, they definitely did. I think Miami hit the shots that they missed first game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they was hitting, like a lot of them open threes that they was getting first game, they wasn't missing.
Right, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They shot great from the three-point line this game, and they just hit their shots, man. And when you got guys like Gabe Vincent and other guys that's hitting the threes, you can win a game with Jimmy only having 21 points.
Max Strus.
4 rebounds.
Max Strus.
And 9 assists. Like, you get a game like that, man, everybody just gave him, Max Strus, give him props, man. He came out.
Out the gate.
Like, no. I'm not having another one of them games. Hey, you know what I'm saying?
You got to give props to Spo, too, because those were drawn up plays for those pop-out threes early for Strus to try and get them going.
Like, man, I love the adjustment of making Kevin Love the power forward to adjust to that. So now we're going to try to slow down
AG.
Denver's quick start that they had, because AG had a crazy start game
little
one.
Boy, them boys.
I think with the adjustment, it helps Jimmy to guard Murray. I think what they did was made Murray the head of the snake. You know, like, they know Jokic is going to get his and damn near a triple-double. But it looked like they was focusing on Murray and taking him out the game, man. Had Murray with an 18-point game. He had 18, 4, and 10.
They made him pick their poison, bro. To me, it's like everybody in the world knows the Joker is going to be the Joker. Like, you could put your whole defense towards stopping him, and he's going to find a way. He's going to get a triple-double. He's going to impact the game in a big way, because he's a pass-orientated big fella. But he shows you, if y'all want to play with me, I could put 30, 40, 50 up if you want to. But the thing is that when he goes high in points and he goes high in points, his assists come down. And when his assists come down, that takes away from the other guys. And I feel like in the fourth quarter and late in the game, when it was necessary for guys to be locked in and guys to be zoned in and lock and step on defense for Denver, you had a few guys. Well, I don't even want to say a few guys. One guy noticeably to me was Michael Porter Jr., who wasn't locked into the game. And to me, that, I feel like it goes both ways. It obviously, as an individual, we players, bro, that's our responsibility to show up and be locked in and this, that, and the third. But it's also on our coach, when our coach knows the type of player we are. I think MPJ is one of those guys that if he's not touching the ball, if he's not involved in the offense, everything else is going to kind of be limited in a way. I mean, he's been a guy that's been getting 10 rebounds, 4 or 5 assists, staying somewhere in the teens on points. He had 5 and 6, bro. And not only that, he was the guy that was, like, missing and slow on the switch on some of those switches that got some of those threes all during that run. If you go back and look at it, he was slow to respond. That's not being totally engaged and locked in. And sometimes that happens to, hey, early in my career, I was one of those players that if I didn't get the ball offensively, I was looking around like, what the hell going on? So I definitely know what that feels like.
I think with Denver, to me, it looked like they just got comfortable. They got comfortable.
They were leading most of the game.
Yeah, they got comfortable. They won that first game fairly easy. Because he made a push late in the game. But they won that first game the way they won it. I was looking at their shooting around. They was dancing, and all I seen was laughs and smile. And when I seen that, all I could think about was that Kobe Bryant interview when he was up 2. And they was like, yeah, why you ain't smiling? He was like, look, shit, the job ain't done yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's all
I could think about when I was seeing them guys laughing and enjoying themselves, which is nothing wrong with enjoying the finals, man. That's what got you out here. But with that being said, man, the Heat looked like they played harder than them. And what's crazy is the Heat looked like they played harder than them, and they was up most of the game on the Heat. But the Heat just looked like they was just so resilient, like this was finna be our game. Like, we finna win this game. And what's surprising to me, they were so comfortable because they haven't lost in Denver. The whole playoffs.
First loss in Denver for them this whole postseason.
So the Heat, if you watch the Heat all playoff, a lot of teams been beating them the whole game. Winning the whole game, doing their thing and so forth on. And them guys like Max and Gabe Vincent and Caleb Martin.
Duncan Robinson with the 10-0 Duncan
Robinson with the mixture of Bam and Jimmy. Man, they always seem like at the end of the game, like they come around and they win the game. And one thing about Miami I can say in these playoffs, they like the best team when the last 4 minutes of a game, if the game is close. Like,
oh, that's when they come like into that, getting that rabbit hole with you. Who you want in the foxhole? You want them boys in the foxhole with you. And this was a big takeaway for me. Because I think even after game one, it shined through more after game two, obviously, because they lost. But I think if you go back and you listen to Coach Michael Malone after game one, he was saying then that, hey, this, we didn't do anything. And he said that we had things that we didn't do well at, and he had concerns and this and that. And then game two, those things, after a couple adjustments, those things really shined through. And he came right out and said the same thing. And then the biggest thing, what you just said, like you said, you felt like Miami played harder. That was one of the first things he said, that it's no way that our effort should be an issue. And he said those words, he talked and spoke about his team's effort and how in a finals series that should never be having to be spoken about. So you were spot on saying that you felt like the Heat played harder in some respect if Denver's coach came out and spoke on his team's effort. You hitting that on the head. And for me, I feel like those adjustments they made between the starting of Kevin Love and then in that fourth quarter, I don't know why, but that the 2-3 and the 2-2-1 variations of the zone, they seemed to confuse and kind of muck it up for Denver. And that gave Miami the chance to do what they needed to do. Because like I said, the start of the fourth, Duncan Robinson came out of nowhere. He came out of nowhere with a quick flurry.
That zone made them slow the ball down. That zone took away them backdoor cuts. And
it takes away that pick that and stuff. Roll for Murray, too.
That dribble handoff he do with Murray, exactly. And all them little shots that he get, takes it away. Like, man, when you hold Murray to 18, 4-10, Aaron Gordon to 12-7, Michael Porter Jr. to 5-6.
Yeah, you did something.
Giving yourself a chance to win a game in the finals, and that's what that did for him. It gave them a chance to win, and they capitalized on it. Shout out to Gabe Vincent. It was his turn the other day, and he stepped up with flying colors, and as he's been doing through the whole playoffs, man, he got them through. And the thing about it is they so well balanced that, no, we don't need a 30-game or a 40-game from these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe Vincent, 23 and two steals. That's all we need out of you. You know what I'm saying? Max Strusser, 14 points, and his 14 points were basically in the first quarter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Everything was timely.
When you got a level team like that,
because Duncan only had all his points right at the start of the fourth when he got that flurry, but it was necessary. That deleted the lead and put them back right in the game to start it off. I think also, man, when we talk about that zone and talk about the impact it had on Jamal Murray, we cannot not mention that Jimmy Buckets did most of the defending and the majority of the defending on Murray, even that last end of the game, that shot where he came and they did get into the Murray Joker pick and roll. It just so happened that it was a scramble and Jimmy was on Joker, so he was the perfect guy to switch right out. And you saw he switched aggressively. As soon as he switched onto him, he poked at the ball, almost got a little piece of the ball and had him gather himself. And now it's like, okay, I'm not really in the rhythm. And he contested the step back. I mean, you don't really want to have a last second shot like that. I would have fouled, but like, if you're going to have somebody guard, you had the perfect person guarding them. And so I think that was the case. When that lineup shift, it gave Jimmy the ability to have more possessions defensively on him. And I think that ultimately impacted, you know, Murray's game and why he didn't get to go crazy as well, because Jimmy's a tough defender.
I definitely thought that zone, what it was doing, it was pushing them all the way back to the logo. Now, instead of they getting that free throw line or that three-point line and then dribble handoff or screen and roll and all that stuff, that two-man game with Joker, it took that away from the end of the game. How they coming out on the screens, how the guards is already up front, so Bam don't have to show on the screen. They can just switch it easy. And depending on where the guy is at, you know, you fall into that 2-3 or that 1-2-2, it slowed their offense down completely.
The thing that you're talking about with the zone, which what was made it so impactful for Miami that game, a lot of times what we see, Black, is when even us as players, sometimes I've been on teams where, like, when a coach or, you know, they put us in zone, some teams look at it as like, okay, cool, this is kind of time to rest and time to take a possession off or whatever, sit back in the zone and you kind of chill. Nah. Miami is aggressive. Their zone is attacking the offense. That's why you're saying they starting out at the logo and they way out here and they doing that. That's because it's not a zone where you just sitting and you relaxing and shoot. They playing aggressive zone defense. And that's,
yeah, it's like a matchup zone.
Yeah, and it's,
and it's very effective.
Exactly, exactly. So, man, we got game three tomorrow. Once again, we got the slow couple 2 days in between and all that. But we got the game three tomorrow. First MIA. Game in the MIA, yo. What you think gonna happen, Black? They back at sea level. They ain't above, you know, all of that altitude and everything. They gonna be coming back to this warm, floaty dowdy. What you think about game three?
I think Miami is gonna stick to their guns and muddy it up. Keep it muddy. Keep it in the swamp, as I so-called say. Keep it in the swamp and do what they do. I think the Nuggets need to find their energy because it's a mental game. It's a mind game now. You were so confident that you can't lose in Denver, and you took a loss in Denver. You know what I'm saying? You know you done been on the road all playoffs and won games on the road all playoff. But in Denver, you took a hit. So now that it makes you second guess a lot of stuff. So a lot of stuff they got to correct. Hopefully, their adjustments can make them be better in the situation then. Because, like, I love the adjustment of them shutting the other guys down and letting, like supposed to say, it's disrespect to say you letting Joker get
right, exactly
points. Like that's disrespectful to say that, which is true. But they taking a different approach, and Joker gonna have to figure something out with this one.
What does it say about Miami that they've been able to do what Minnesota, the Lakers, or Phoenix couldn't do? Which was go into Denver and get one win in Denver. And they had, all those teams had multiple chances.
What it shows Miami is, and it shows the world, is that anybody can beat anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Miami can beat this team. That's the reason that we picked Miami. A lot of people just feeling like, it's going to be a cakewalk.
They definitely thought gentlemen sleep or sweep. I was getting a lot of
that. They ain't going to win a game in Denver and all that stuff. No. A good coach, a good game plan, and guys out there that are giving the top effort will win you a game in the playoff.
Right.
To win the series, they got to continue that same energy and play the game the right way. They're used to being in the pressure situations. Can Denver play four straight games, close games, in pressure situation where guys got to make a shot down the stretch? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what Miami's finna put them in. Miami finna make them play perfect basketball to win this series. And if they don't play perfect basketball and get it together as a team, they will be popped.
Hey, I'm excited, bro. Game three is not, you know, it's only one sleep until the next game. You know what I'm saying? We got a game tomorrow, so I'm back hyped, man. Let me hit you with this random stat of the week. With the Miami Heat winning their 13th game of the postseason, that broke the tie with the 1999 New York Knicks for the most wins ever by a number 8 seed in a single postseason. So they didn't already made a little bit of history. You know, obviously no number 8 seed has have ever won the whole thing. So that'll be the biggest piece of history they aiming to make. But that's just a little random stat of the week out there. You got a shout out, Black? You got any shout outs? Any shout outs?
Man, just shout out to the Miami Heat coaching staff and the adjustments that they made for game two. It gave them an opportunity to win the game. The adjustments and the play calling gave other guys opportunity to make shots. I just love how Miami played that game as a whole. I'm excited to see a good series because all we've been getting is good series all playoffs. You know, even though Denver swept the Lakers, it was an intense it was an intense series. Just all playoffs, man. What we done seen out of these guys, every team, how they've been playing, man, it's just this is just the icing on the cake for us to see, you know, and they just adding on. They say it ain't a playoffs until in a series until you went on the road. Well, we got a road team that won one. So it's a series now. So, like, everybody get your popcorn ready because I feel like we going 6-7 in this one.
I ain't mad at it. I got a shout out, man. I got a shout out Duncan Robinson, man. This a dude who got the, you know, he was whatever, undrafted, however low he went. But then, you know, he ascended. He went crazy shooting the ball and got a big bag from Miami, right? Then he, like, lost his starting spot and really didn't play. Was just on the bench, bro. They was saying, you know, all he could do is shoot. All he could do is shoot. So my man hadn't played in maybe like a year and a half, bro. For him to come, and then during that time while he was away, I feel like you can see the difference in his game. He's no longer just a standstill catch and shoot guy. We've seen him catching the ball, making plays, going to the basket, getting buckets, making plays with the ball. So when I say I want to shout him out, I want to shout him out for not being one of those dudes that, like, he got the bag and then something unfortunate happened, you lost your spot. He went and worked his ass off because you could see the results of his work with the way he's been able to play. He moves way better than he moved prior, and he can do things without just catching and standing there shooting. He's head faking, sidestepping. He's getting to the baskets, going layups and stuff.
I'm giving props on this defense. He's not out there locking nobody up, but he's giving effort on defense.
Thank you.
It's bigger than anything. And, like, you kids need to listen to that. Like, nobody's asking you to lock nobody up.
Right.
But the effort you give and how you play as a team and collective on defense, that's it. That's what Duncan Robinson is doing out there.
And
that's why he's not
I don't know which coaches, but I know, you know, one of them, Karan, Chris Quinney, Malik, A. Carter, one of them was working and putting in that work. Might have been Coach O. Shout out Coach O. That's my main man over there. If you know, you know. But he was putting in that work, bro. And that's what I want to shout out about him, because to be where he was and then to be, you know, hero goes down, gets hurt. Now it's opportunity. But he carpe diem, boy. He seizing the moment and he balling. And so no matter what, he didn't put himself back in standard. And I'm a rotational. I'm back in the game, baby. I'm back out here. So shout out Duncan Robinson, man. Shout out them Heat coaches over there, coaching them up and keeping them right. And he ready to go. That's a wrap, though, Black man. You know, we got the game tomorrow. We'll be right back at y'all, tapping in, letting y'all know about our thoughts and what we feel about this game 3. But until then, we gonna holler. We'll be back. I want to thank y'all for your continued support of the Knuckleheads Podcast. Be sure to give us 2 taps by writing a review and rating 5 stars wherever you get your podcast. And make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. You can also watch all the episodes on the Players Tribune YouTube page. Follow us on social media at Knuckleheads Podcast and join our Knuckleheads Facebook group for exclusive content. Thanks again to all of our guests and fans. This wouldn't be possible without y'all.
ThePlayersTribune.com